We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live!
Please remain silent while I am speaking. We have a lot to get through.
Put that cigarette out.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh my God, he's coming at you! He's gonna puke!
He's fat!
You three guys want a war tonight? You got one!
To be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here!
Wrestling fans, it is Monday, December 2nd, and we just finished watching this evening's Monday Night Raw, and it is time for the Mega Powers Radio Monday Night Raw post show. I'll be leading you off. I'm Mike Payton, host of Keeping Kayfabe, host of this show, and a busy man in my own right. Also joining me, two other busy men. First off, the lead host of Spark Out Moments Smack Talk Podcast, Tony Mango. What's shaking, Tony?
Not too much. What's up with you?
Just watched Raw. Not really a lot to say, and I feel like that's how I feel about Raw tonight too. It was just a show.
I
don't think there was anything exceptional, but I guess we'll get more into detail with that as we go on. I don't want to forget to introduce the other fellow we got with us, Mr. Steven Huego, lead host of Unanimous Decision MMA. What's shaking, Steven?
I'm good. I'm surprised though. This was the greatest war ever. The
really?
Reign is over. Del Rio's defeated. I'm just fucking happy. He's finally getting buried.
He's been beaten twice this month.
I know, it's amazing. It's like Christmas early.
And you know, being beat by John Cena is not that big of a deal. Of course, Alberto Del Rio would be beat by John Cena, but by Sin Cara?
Even worse, of Hunico.
But we'll get to that match story. Let's go all the way to the beginning of the show, and let's talk about our opening segment. We had CM Punk coming out saying that he believes the reason he was attacked by The Shield was because of comments he made earlier in the night about Triple H. Stephanie McMahon enters and denies that claim, and introduces Kane to come out, who starts speaking in some really unique tone, like really monotone, really like a scholar lawyer or something like that. It was odd. I don't know. He states that the problem is resolved and recommends that Punk stands down. Punk refuses to as the Shield's music hits. Stephanie stops the Shield before they attack, though, and says that CM Punk should be admired and respected. She leaves, as Kane says, and yes, he should also be challenged. And at TLC, CM Punk will face all three members of the Shield in a handicap match. Didn't get the word if there's any other extra kind of stipulation to it. You have to imagine maybe they'll make it a chairs match or some other type thing. But at this moment, just a regular old handicap match. Tony, how do you like CM Punk's odds in this?
Not at all. He has to lose. Absolutely has to lose. And if he puts as much of a fight against the Shield as what I think that they're going to do, it's a shame. Because you can't go from Roman Reigns beating the living hell out of five different people to having CM Punk single-handedly put up a fight against Roman Reigns and two other people. He should get his ass kicked, even though he won't.
Now, here's the question. Is it going to be the Shield beat CM Punk, or is it going to be Roman Reigns beat CM Punk? Steven?
I don't know how they're going to go about this. The whole match is a bit weird. I don't know if he's going to get partners added on or if they're just going to stick to this whole three-on-one thing that they seem to be fantasized with right now. I think it's just going to be a three-on-one beatdown unless something more comes out of what's actually booked.
What do you think about the opening segment that we had tonight with CM Punk and Lawyer Kane?
I thought it was very dry, to be quite honest. It really put me off at first. I mean, I got more into the show as it went on, but this didn't exactly set a good tone, in my opinion. I like that they're developing Kane's character, but didn't stop the segment from being any less boring.
Tony, I know you're a man who can appreciate subtlety a little bit more. What did you think about Kane's new direction with this?
I actually didn't see it. I tuned into Raw right at the end of the Divas match, and I haven't had a chance to watch back yet.
Okay, well, if there's one thing that I would say worth going back and watching, it's to see this new voice that Kane is testing out here. I can definitely see it having mixed reactions. I'm okay with it. I'd like to see him work it a little bit more, perhaps twerk it too. But for the time being, I think it's fine.
He needs to speak louder.
Perhaps a little louder, maybe hold the mic a little bit closer to his mouth, whatever he has to do.
Was this the same voice that he used later on in the night when he talked to Daniel Bryan in the backstage segment?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, I thought that was a little bit awkward. And I kind of just assumed that maybe his energy was low. Maybe it's just like one of those days he's not feeling well or something, but I don't know. I mean, if they go with this whole direction of him being, you know, the suited up Kane and whatever, I guess having a change of voice makes sense. I don't know if I necessarily would have went with that exact voice, but is that closer to his normal voice? I actually don't remember what his normal voice sounds like.
It's when closer, yes.
When I've seen him speak doing those whole libertarian speeches he fucking does, he sounds a bit more energetic than what he did on tonight, so I think it's just him if he was bored and speaking around his family members type of voice.
It's his Glenn voice.
Yeah, it's Glenn voice.
That's exactly what it is. Because, well, you don't want to go too powerful because you don't want to go into like organ music in the background, Kane. When he would sit in the ring in the chair and they would have the music playing as he's doing his promos.
Maybe you can go back to "My Name Is Kane"
with the organ music.
Yeah,
he'll just play an organ. That'll be it.
Brian the Brain, the chat room, saying, why not name change Kane and do Kane is Missing in Action like Abyss and Joseph Parks? You answered your own question, because it would be just like Abyss and Joseph Parks.
Because TNA. That's the only answer we need.
Exactly. The last thing they want to do is have some dumb TNA comparison. I'm not saying it's a dumb idea. I'm just saying that that's people would look at it and be like, oh, they're just stealing from it. Even though it might be a completely original idea on their part, they're just going to avoid that. And, you know, they did do Kane get abducted. Let's not forget, he did get abducted from the Wyatts and was out for a number of months. But, of course, so was Daniel Bryan. He just got left in a parking lot. A lot of good that did.
It's a shame that Kane didn't come back speaking like Bray Wyatt.
That'd just be really awkward.
Can you imagine him doing the whole, like, man, and all that? Like...
And you imagine a gigantic beard.
Yeah. But he's got it on the top of his head. It's a different wig.
A lot of new hairstyles tonight, too, but we'll go more into those. Well, let's go into our first match we had tonight. Another matchup between Dolph Ziggler and Damian Sandow, the rubber match after they had their two gimmicky matches the last couple of weeks. This time we got to see Dolph Ziggler take the loss. Damian Sandow came out on top rather quickly, too, considering it seemed like the last couple of weeks' matches went on very long, closer to the 10-minute mark. This one was, what, like 4 minutes, maybe? You know, the big thing about it was this was the number one contenders match for the Intercontinental title. So Damian Sandow is in line to face Big E Langston for that title. And Big E Langston was there on commentary for the night. I don't remember anything too significant about that other than the fact that he brought up Skip It. Mentions he used to play Skip It with Dolph Ziggler. But Damian Sandow getting the win, if I remember, he didn't even get it with a finisher of his. He got it with a roll-up, if I recall.
I think it was set the tone for the night.
I could have swore he hit his finisher.
Yeah, he might. These guys hit their finishers all the time and kick out of them. I don't know what their deal is.
We don't even know what Dolph's finisher is at this point.
Steve, what did you think about this match? I would have to say it's probably the worst of the three. Where would you lay it?
I was definitely disappointed because as much as everyone has shit on their last two matches because they're too gimmicky, I personally enjoyed them. Mm. I had higher expectations because of those. So when they cut the match time down, because I understand you can't do a gimmick match every week, but you'd think they'd at least give him some more time to go out there and have a better match. And I think they did what they could with the time given, and we were just left with something that I just felt meh about.
And being corrected, he did indeed hit the full Nelson Slam. All right. Corey Krause also makes an excellent observation. Damian Sandow's weak-ass finisher versus Biggie Langston's weak-ass. They keep their finishers on each other over and over. We'll never get a winner. What do you think about the meetup tonight, though, between Ziggler and Sandow?
I didn't see that much either.
Oh, well, geez.
But I do like the idea that the two of them were fighting for a number one contendership of the Intercontinental title. I think this is the first step of what we've all kind of been assuming would happen with the title unification, where the Intercontinental and the U.S. title, which hopefully they kind of just maybe get rid of the U.S. title as well, that will sort of kind of get a step up. And people like Dolph Ziggler and Damian Sandow, that the company clearly just does not value as main event talent, they will be the primary focal points for the Intercontinental title division. So I liked it. I mean, I'm a little bit disappointed that Damian Sandow is getting a shot right now because I kind of wanted him to be the person who took the belt away from Big E a couple months from now. And that doesn't seem like that's going to happen. But who knows? Maybe it'll come back around later on.
Does that mean you're not in favor of him having a longer run? Because I'm all up for Big E keeping this for like a long period of time.
I was hoping Big E would drop it a little bit after WrestleMania.
I don't mind him dropping it to Sandow. I just want him to win it back.
I don't want him to drop it right now. I want him to keep it for at least a couple months. But I would like Damian Sandow to be that person who wins it. And now that they're doing this match now, I don't want it to happen now. It's too early for Big E.
I think we all want him to win the belt anyway, just because it looks so awesome on him.
It would.
So we had our Divas match next. It was 3-on-3. The Bellas teaming with Natalya to go against Tamina, AJ, and Summer Rae. All I really remember happening in this match, Summer Rae did some dance moves, bumping her butt against some of the other Divas. It was kind of cool. It was an okay match, I suppose. I honestly tuned in and out, as I do with these Divas matches, but it did not offend me as I normally would. I didn't look over and like, what are these girls doing? They're going to hurt each other. It looked like they were just having a match. So good girls. Natalya ends up getting the pin on AJ Lee, once again putting her in good contendership for that title shot. So good for her. Natalya has not been completely lost. She's still somewhere in the mix. Tony, do you think Natalya is possibly going to get it this time as opposed to her last shot she had with it?
Nope. It's a shame because Natalya deserves so much better than what she's been given overall in WWE, but no, she can't win. AJ's got to keep this title until they've built somebody up who is that much more significant than just giving it to Natalya for the hell of it. I think that the idea of giving a championship to people on Total Divas makes sense, but at the same time, is Natalya as the champion really going to draw that much attention to it, as opposed to just keeping Total Divas separate and having AJ as the champion? AJ is so far above and beyond everybody else right now, and nobody should be able to touch her.
Well, I have a question, but I'm going to reserve it first. I want to ask Steven, what you think of our Divas match we had tonight?
It didn't offend me, as you said, but I wasn't all that interested. But you said you wanted to go on somewhat else. I do have a view on where the future goes with this, but I don't know if you wanted to touch on that yet or not.
Well, it's similar. I was going to ask, who do you guys think, at this point now, is the most likely person to take that belt off AJ eventually?
Paige.
Tony?
You know, I want to say Karma. But I don't put a whole lot of faith in it. So instead, I think that it would have to be Brie.
Okay. You want to hear who I think it's going to be?
Sure.
Eva Marie.
Really?
Dude, have you heard the heat this girl's getting?
You know what? You're not wrong.
If they know how to
fucking hate her.
If the writers take advantage of this properly, they could get this girl to be huge. People will pay so much money to see this girl get her ass kicked.
You know what? I haven't heard heat for a female like that probably since Vicky was like at her hottest.
It's all got to be done correctly, though. I mean, if they're just going to continue what they're doing now, it's going to get stale. If they, you know, pal her around enough with the Bellas and maybe she turns her back on them and that's what gets her the belt or something like that, and then just follow it from there, people could really, really hate this girl a lot.
But as far as AJ dropping the belt, I don't think she should till WrestleMania. She's had it that long now where I think if you're going to do it, wait till it's on the biggest stage.
And, well, yeah, you also got to get to the point where you can turn AJ babyface, too.
But I don't know if they will do that with Eva Marie. I really don't want to see her in the ring, unfortunately. So, as much as she's getting the heat. See, I don't watch Total Divas, so I don't know what's there to hate about her, but apparently she must be a bitch.
Yeah, that's exactly why everybody hates her.
Okay, then she's a bitch.
She's like the villain of the show, basically. She's cocky, and she kind of flaunts that she's sexy and everything, and everybody else is supposed to just be like, it's okay, like, you lost your match and it's fine. And even Maurice, like, kind of built as the one who is like arrogant in the face of others and everything. So
she's, you know, sort of the Snooki of the show.
You know what's funny, though? That means a lot of people must watch Total Divas for the fans to be invested enough to boo her like that.
I actually have more fun watching Total Divas than I do Raw sometimes, and that's really kind of like sad to admit.
I've never seen it other than the first episode. I was just disinterested after that one.
Well, geez.
Don't let reality TV off. Even The Ultimate Fighter, I've had to tune out of. It's just boring to me at this point.
Well, can we talk about something that's not boring? And it's what followed up this Divas match. It was bad News Barrett. Yes, finally, this gimmick, we've talked about it a few times on the various shows, is finally on our primetime television. Wade Barrett coming out. He even has the old anonymous Raw General Manager podium all set up with Bad News Barrett stamps on it. It looks like the old Raw is War stamp, too. Really cool. Really cool little touch with that. And he just stands there. They go to him for about a minute, and he just delivers some bad news. The first one he did here, he made fun of the yokels in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, for being so stupid that they had to name their city after their state. Yeah, you know, cheap joke. I mean, it's kind of like the like that joke with Ryback and the gazpacho that Tony always gets on him for. But you know what?
Stupid joke.
It's okay. They could go there and it could still be funny. But later in the night, he had an even better one where he was talking about, you all enjoyed your Thanksgiving dinners, but now it's going to be putting fat on your thighs, on your hips, and clogging your arteries. Thank you. That was it.
Yeah, but
the Bad News Barrett stamp came on the TV.
His accent just, because he's one of these guys that have a really heavy accent, and it just makes it even so much better. The delivery is perfect as well. I'd be happy if he never wrestled again and just did this.
That's what worries me, if he is going to be wrestling, or if this is just something where he's going to be doing to fill time. Because I think he's a fine wrestler. I think that's a waste of talent.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I don't want to see him wrestle. I'm just saying, shit, as long as he's on TV, I'm happy.
Oh, yeah, you're all constipated. Thank you. God, last week we were talking about being circumcised. Now we're talking about being constipated. These Raws are just going in weird directions lately. Tony, what did you think about Bad News Barrett?
It's hard not to just kind of chuckle at it. Because it is so ridiculous that you have to just kind of go, oh, Jesus Christ, and just, like, go with it. But at the same time, if they want to take him seriously, he can't keep this long. You can't transition this into, you know, being the next world champion or anything like that. I think it would be great for a manager, but for somebody like Wade Barrett, I don't know if that really suits him. So, who knows? Maybe that can change. I don't know. But I think if they really want to make something solid of him as like an upper mid carder, main eventer, or anything like that, he's got to ditch it sooner than later.
I think it has legs. I want to see where it can go.
I think it can get him over as a face.
Mm-hmm. Which is funny. Delivering bad news gets him over as a face.
Shit, that's the type of thing that people find funny. They'd like it. I think it could work.
Do you think that could be kind of like one of those things where he cuts a promo? And it'll be like, you know, talking to the heel, and it'll be like, you know, the good news is you're the champion. The bad news is not for long.
Yeah, or we could actually deliver bad news to a heel one day and just basically run him down comically. People get a kick out of it, and he keeps doing it to the point they actually feud.
And then he can just do that goofy smile he has.
It definitely could work. I want to see where it goes. If he doesn't wrestle, it'll be a shame. But if not, I can enjoy it until it runs stagnant.
Indeed. Well, I'm just glad we're finally seeing him on TV again. I was actually worried because the fact we hadn't seen him on at all, if they were going to find time to fit him back in on the road to WrestleMania. But you know what? They got him in just in time, and we'll see where he fits into the overall picture. So next we had what I would say is a rather awkward backstage segment featuring Randy Orton and Brad Maddox, Randy Orton gets right in Brad Maddox's face, and I got to admit, I got flashbacks of the Heidenreich Michael Cole segment. But he tells him to tell everybody that Randy Orton is the best and he's bigger than WWE. And you know, it seems like Randy Orton's going this crazy egomaniacal power trip.
Yay. This segment was just generally awkward. It kind of just makes me want to see Braddock screw him at some point. I know we won't probably get that, but it just seemed kind of a pointless segment. I don't know if it accomplished anything other than Stephanie going, we got your message later on, but I don't know.
So Daniel Bryan starts making his way out for his match, and this I thought was pretty cool. We got a little bit of a promotion banner for Daniel Bryan being on Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast. I don't believe I ever called them ever once plugging Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast.
Maybe this is trying to sweeten him to come to WrestleMania 30.
Perhaps. I mean, you could say it's because Daniel Bryan is on there, but they've had other people from WWE on there. I mean, Jerry Lawler was on it a number of times. I feel like CM Punk was on it at one point. I'm sure there's others if I look through the list.
Maybe just to fill their quota of pointing out that wrestling is fake, like how last week they had The Miz just flat out say it. Was it last week? I don't even remember.
Yeah, it was last week. We had that fucking abysmal weird segment.
About it being like Michael Strahan being stiff.
Yeah.
And I'm a heel and all that kind of stuff. Like, maybe this is just their attempt to be like, well, watch this show and we'll talk about how Daniel Bryan was like, well, they booked me to win the championship and whatever.
So I guess Russo's booking WWE again?
Maybe.
How Daniel Bryan had to get his shit in?
Fuck out.
So Daniel Bryan got his shit in a match against Eric Rowan, the red-bearded one of the Wyatt family. Daniel Bryan ends up getting the win with a roll-up after a match that I got to admit felt like it went on for quite a long while. Daniel Bryan could not save this one. You know, they always say there's people they could save. The best wrestlers can make a great match out of anybody. No, I don't think even Daniel Bryan could pull the match out of Eric Rowan.
No, Shawn Michaels. I'll say it.
Do you want me to go ahead on this one? Or?
Yeah, you go.
I think the biggest flaw in this match was just they said, hey, we need to make the Wyatt family look strong. And they gave him too much time just to work the heat on Daniel Bryan and not gave Daniel Bryan enough offense in the match. It was just one of those where they've been given a certain amount of time and you've got a big man heel that really doesn't know how to mix up his offense, and it just dragged. And when we finally got that big comeback for Daniel Bryan at the end of the match, it was just, we never got like the, you know how normally he does all the backflip off the corner and runs around the ring like a madman?
Mm-hmm.
It's like we got half of that and then a roll up out of nowhere. It was like they built up to this big finish and we never got it. And just felt really awkward and the match just was boring.
I feel like they might have went overtime with Eric Rowan's part. And they're like, oh, crap, we got this whole thing to do after the match. We better wrap things up quickly.
Stands a chance. I mean, if I rewatched it back, maybe the referee gave him the wrap it up signal.
Yeah. After the match finished, we had Bray Wyatt appear in the Titantron. He tells the Wyatt team to stand down. He had to speak to Daniel Bryan for a minute. He tells Bryan that he understands him and that he can love him like nobody else possibly could. And he wants Daniel Bryan to join the Wyatt family. And he left Daniel Bryan, not attacked him, didn't knock him out. He had him abducted the last week, but you know he obviously left him in the parking lot. He didn't do anything with him. He had his chance. He wants Daniel Bryan to join on his own accord. Tony, where is this going?
No fucking idea at all. The first thing I thought of when he started talking about how he wanted to join him was, don't tell me they're going to turn Daniel Bryan heel. The thing that I'm worried about is that they will, and that's because WWE has this tendency where if somebody catches on as a babyface, they like to turn them heel. They did it with CM Punk. They've done it with Ryback. And it almost seems like if somebody needs to turn heel, like a John Cena, they refuse to do it. But if it's a risk to do it, they guaranteed will. And I'm really starting to get worried that by the time WrestleMania comes around, we're going to see Daniel Bryan as the forefront member of the Wyatt family. Maybe he would fight somebody like a CM Punk. Maybe he would fight somebody completely different. I have no idea. But this clearly isn't going to just be something where he has a match with the three of these people at TLC, and at the Royal Rumble, nothing else happens.
Well, now here's my question. All throughout this match, they kept making suggestions that maybe there was some kind of deeper psychological thing that the Wyatts had done to Daniel Bryan. I'm wondering if there's some kind of like Pavlovian dog type response that they're going to trigger at some point down the line that's going to make Daniel Bryan do things against his will and join the Wyatt family, not, you know, on his own accord. He's going to be forced to because of something that they did to him.
They could definitely do that. I mean, they do have this kind of like hypnotism thing going on, so it wouldn't be without the outside the realm of possibility.
I might end up kicking myself for this, but I don't think WWE is that stupid to do it.
Never underestimate.
As I said, I might end up kicking myself for saying this, but they've done some stupid shit, but they've got a really good thing going with Daniel, and I think the end game is him winning the Royal Rumble, so I fucking hope not.
Well, what I'm saying, what if they make him go through with that, but then the Royal Rumble story is him fighting this voodoo power that's over him, and eventually the conclusion is that he overturns that, like, say the last four people is Daniel Bryan, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, and Bray Wyatt.
Do you think we're not past the spooky, silly gimmick shit like we have with The Undertaker back in the 80s, though?
We just have, like, the Funkasaurus and Fandango and Los Matadores and all? Aren't these all people that are wrestling right now?
I suppose you're right. It just seems like a real stretch that they do something like that.
They do always keep teasing that Papa Shango is going to come back at the Royal Rumble.
But it's weird, man. Maybe you have CM Punk join the Shield. Maybe you have Bryan join the Wyatts and they go at it. They're both in handicap matches.
Now, see, that one, I don't know how that's going to happen. How do you get CM Punk inserted into the Shield with what they're doing?
I have no idea. I have no idea how you put Bryan into there. I mean, I still think the whole voodoo shit's a bit far-fetched, but this whole situation's confusing. I like that I don't know what's going to happen next, but I'm scared at the same time that they're going to do some real dumb.
All right, we got a caller on the line, so let's bring him on here. Caller from 830, tell us what's your name, where you're calling from, man.
This is Texas Jeff, man. How's it going?
What's up, Texas Jeff? What's shaking, dude? What'd you think of Raw tonight?
Well, besides like the 45-minute cat nap I took, it was all right. I woke up right before Mark Henry went out, so that was cool.
Oh, what time did you fall asleep during it?
I have no idea, honestly. I just woke up, my Skype was going off, and I guess that kind of woke me up. I'm not sure. I had a long day, so I guess I don't know if I fell asleep because of Raw. I'm not going to blame it on that. I was just tired, I guess, man.
Well, we were just talking about Daniel Bryan's involvement with the Wyatts. Did you see what happened with them tonight?
Yeah, that made me almost fall asleep again. I don't know what it was. I just couldn't get into that match.
I'm really blaming Eric Rowan on that one. But what about the prospect of Daniel Bryan eventually being a member of the Wyatt family? Would you be interested in that, or do you think it's a bad idea to get him involved with some group that may make him heal and make him lose all this awesome, awesome response that he has right now? Or do you think he should just continue against it?
He's not one of my like huge, huge favorites. He's a real good talent, a real good wrestler. I'm not going to say, like, so I guess I'm kind of, I guess you could say I'm biased or whatever, but WWE is always teasing some kind of crap like that, man, where they always, like someone just said it, you know, they always try to do that stuff, man. Someone's over and then, I mean, look what happened to Ryback. He went heel for no reason. And look at him now. You know, he didn't even get entrances this week, so who knows. And then he wins the match. So, shit, I don't know, man. Don't mean to curse, but, man, I don't know, man.
It's all good, man.
Yeah, they need to do something with him, but I don't think that's what they need to do, honestly.
Well, what do I know? Did you catch the Bad News Barrett segments?
Yeah, I mean, my friend and I were kind of joking about them. It's kind of weird, but whatever. At least they're doing something with Wade Barrett, I guess.
Hey, it's unique. You know, I'm glad, yes, Wade Barrett is finally back on TV because we haven't really seen him since, what, that 1 month stint after WrestleMania? I don't believe he's been done doing anything.
Yeah, as long as they have him doing something, man, he's a good talent.
Damian Sandow is our new number one contender for the Intercontinental title. Where do you see that going with Damian Sandow going after Big E Langston for that?
Man, I don't know. My boy Dolph lost again. I don't know. When's the last time Dolph won 2 weeks in a row? That's what I'm trying to think about, but it doesn't seem like it. But, man, it is... I think it's just, I don't really know, man. It's cool.
All right.
I don't know. I guess what WWE did, they made me not as into Dolph Ziggler, man. And he was next to Mark Henry and a couple people like that. He was my favorite. And now I just kind of, I don't know. His matches are kind of on in the background for me. I don't know if that makes me a fair weather fan or what. It's just when you're behind someone for years and years and they tease you and then they put him down and they put him up again and then, you know, I'm not saying I'm not a fan of him anymore. It's just hard, man.
You're completely justified. I mean, it's been terrible booking with Dolph Ziggler. I mean, the fans have been hit behind this guy so many times, and rather than pulling the trigger and sticking with it, it's always start and stop, start and stop. And how can you continually keep getting behind somebody? Eventually, you're just going to be like, why bother when it's just going to fall off again?
Yeah, you're definitely not in the you're definitely not the only one that feels like that. There's plenty of guys on there that you see on the internet that used to support Dolph, say he should be the next champion, and that support's slowly dying and dying. It's just what you see is what you get. They're making him look like shit Well, shame. You see him as shit.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, man. He's definitely a good wrestler.
All right, so Jeff, we saw John Cena come out on top at the last segment tonight, as opposed to last week we saw Randy Orton, so now they're even apiece. Has your opinion changed anymore for this match that we have going on between them? They keep saying that we are going to be getting one definite champion now. They didn't say that last week, but this week they made extra sure to define that they're going to be one champion. What do you think is going to be the outcome for TLC?
Hey, you know, I don't know. I try not to make predictions. You know, like I said, I try to turn my brain off. But I do like that they are trying to at least give this match some importance. And you always ask me my high and low point. Besides Mark Henry coming out in wrestling, my high point actually was John Cena's promo tonight, as weird as that sounds. That guy can cut a promo when he wants to, man. It was cool. Actually made me start paying attention a little bit, and it was cool.
Yeah, we all heralded it ourselves. We thought John Cena was on his A game tonight, other than a couple small bits. That's awesome, man. What was your low point?
I guess what's that white guy's name? Him and Daniel Bryan's match. Rolling. I just couldn't get into it, man.
Yeah, I don't blame you, man. I don't know what they're going to do with these guys, especially once this whole Wyatt family thing runs its course. I mean, you're only going to get another 6 months out of it at this point, it seems like. So, Eric Rowan, Luke Harper, I can see him having a possible future. I mean, the guy's got a cool look. Rowan, though, I don't know.
Future endeavored.
Future endeavored, very likely, unless they find another person for him to play heavy for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely have to get him.
Other than that,
it's
looking like it might be got some good MMA coming up. Looks like some maybe good WWE coming up, hopefully. So maybe it'll end the year on a high note, man. Hopefully.
I gotta say, I've noticed these, especially this week and a little bit last week. It looks like they're really trying to shake things up and do some different things, and they're bouncing back and forth on a few things, and they're not quite sure. But you know what? That's fine. They're figuring things out and. I can accept that. At least they're changing up. We're seeing people feuding with different people that we've been seeing they have for the past number of months. Things feel fresh, at least. You know, they may not necessarily be the most entertaining, but they feel fresh.
Definitely. I mean, people complain and say it's the same old stuff. And then, I mean, you can't really be complaining right now. At least they're trying to at least put it in a new direction and make it feel fresh and make it feel like maybe it won't be the best match between Orton and Cena, but they're making you feel like it's important. And that's really... that's a big thing, you know, especially the people who have been watching for a long time. You know, when you watch something for a while, you know, I don't know how long you guys have been watching, but I'm 24. I've been watching since I was about 10 or 12 or something. And, you know, it's good to see them try to shake things up, you know. It's good.
It's tough when you're a long-term fan. Wrestling does repeat itself very often, and when the longer you watch, the more often you see it, and the more jaded you can easily get. Jeff, one last thing I wanted to ask you. Are you excited for the Slammies next week?
Sure, man. I mean, I'll be tuning in. I'm not sure if I can say I'm really, really excited, but we'll see what happens. Didn't they stop those for a little bit or something like that?
Oh, they go on and off with them for a long time. Yeah, they stopped him for like 10 years, and they brought him back for 4 years, and they stopped for 2 years, and they brought him back again. They can't make up their mind.
The Academy had too much infighting, and they couldn't decide for a couple of years.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, you guys have a good night, man, and keep doing your thing.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. Thanks for calling in, man. We'll catch you on the flip-flop. All right, thank you, Texas Jeff, for calling into the Raw Post Show. Anyone
catch
else?
You on the flip-flop?
Yeah. Somebody's new finisher.
If anyone else like to call in so I can tell you to catch on the flip-flop, please dial in at area code 760-512-7247. That's area code 760-512-7247. You can also join us via Skype or on the chat box that are on the Blog Talk Radio page. And yeah, we'll be talking to you in all types of ways. What's up, Steven?
Is the flip-flop like above Rootin' Tootin' Mike Payton or below?
No, the flip-flop is Rootin' Tootin' Mike Payton's finisher.
I can see it. I can really see it.
Fucking Payton. Payton's going to be on 2K14 making all the shit tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, the flip-flop is going to be some kind of like modified Alabama slam. I can see it now. It's perfect.
I thought it was going to be like the reverse zigzag.
Oh, no. No, why would I want a shitty finisher? I want a good finisher.
Yeah, fuck.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, so after that, we had an interesting matchup where we had the tag team of Tons of Funk finally getting some time on Raw again, going against R-Truth and Xavier Woods. Brodus Clay with some weird new things going on. First off, he came out with this outfit that had this, like, Beanie Baby-looking wings-type thing sewn onto it, and even his tights had, like, little spikes embroidered onto the back of it. He slicked the spikes on his hair back, though. So, like, he took the spikes from his head and put them on his back. And I don't know. He looked weird. But Brodus Clay ended up getting pinned with the cradle from Xavier Woods. And Brodus Clay giving a little bit of a shove to Sweet Tea at the end. Not Sweet Tea. No. No. Not Sweet Tea. I don't care. Tony.
What am I going to follow that up with? A note, Sweet Tea? What? All right. Well, as far as this match is concerned, I don't understand what they're really doing with Brodus Clay. I'm assuming that they're probably going to turn him heel, but I don't think that they're going to give him that much of a push when they do it. So I'm a little bit disappointed because I actually think that Brodus Clay's doing a good job where he is. And I think he deserves better than what they've been giving him. So if they turn him heel, it's not going to work out good in the end. And if they don't turn him heel, then I don't know. I mean, that could be just another interesting thing that they're doing just to spice things up. And just every once in a while, somebody rubs you the wrong way. And maybe Xavier Woods is just one of those guys for Brodus Clay.
You know who probably comes out the worst if Brodus Clay turns heel?
Tensai.
Yeah,
by far. What the fuck?
Future Endeavor. There's no way.
Maybe, transitions to a back table. Maybe that'll be like the perfect matchup.
Can there be the new Job Squad, except they're big guys?
So, essentially, the Tons of Funk?
Yeah, pretty fucking much, I guess.
Steven, what did you think about this matchup we had?
The match itself, it was so-so. It didn't offend me. It wasn't anything special. I think Brodus, like, just looking at, went to, like, an arts and crafts store and went, how can I make myself look like a cunt for Monday? And that's what we got. He looked batshit crazy tonight with that outfit. And I guess a heel turn is something different for his character. But I think the end game is that he fades into obscurity afterwards, which is a shame because I actually like Brodus. But then again, if he stays with his face room with Sweet Tea, he might get brought up for a tag title match now and again and then fade back down and do WWE shop commercials. So he's in a lose-lose situation.
I think eventually he'll just, you know, be face again one day after a little bit of rehabbing, but I think the only reason they're turning him heel is just to be easy fodder for Xavier Woods coming in.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't really know what you do with a guy like Brodus Clay, though, to be honest. I think he's just going to be one of those guys that ride out as much time on his contract as he can before they finally let him go. I mean, there's not too much he can offer at this point, I don't think.
Man, you remember how much fire he had at the beginning of last year, though?
Beginning of last year?
Yeah, when he first came in with the new Funkasaurus character.
Oh, yeah, and he was doing throwing people and shouting, my bad, and shit.
That yeah, my she. And he let go of a she tonight.
Yeah, it's not the same Brodus, and it's a shame. I really enjoyed it when he first debuted, but shit happens.
Man, I remember being so vehemently against his debut. I mean, if you listen back to old episodes of Smack Talk and stuff, it's like, what the fuck did they do with Brodus? And, oh my God, this is awful. This is the biggest travesty ever. This can never get over and all that. And within like 2-3 weeks, it was like, all right, I kind of like it.
Yeah, that was when he first turned. It was like half of the internet, half of the wrestling fans hated him. The other half liked it. And it was really fun for the first month or so. And then it was like, okay, it's a comedy gimmick.
I always kind of liked it, but, you know, it's something you can always only do for so long. And honestly, they didn't rush it fast enough. They just kept having him face random no-namers and doing squash matches for like 6 months.
I think his crowning achievement was beating The Miz.
Yeah.
I think that was about it. After that, I think Big Show was the final nail in the coffin for that whole thing.
Oh, yeah, when Big Show freaking just knocked him out.
Yeah, made him look like a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was it. After that, I don't think he was ever the same again.
Indeed. All right, well, let's move on to what I'm sure was Steven's favorite part of the night. We had the return of Sin Cara. Yeah, Sin Cara looking good. He comes out. He got his full entrance tonight. He got a nice new tattoo on his shoulder. He also looks like he gained a few pounds and a few inches in height, I mean. He runs down to the ring. He does his giant springing entrance. And he puts on an all right match, I think, with Alberto Del Rio. And it's honestly a compliment I don't think I would normally give either of these guys. Unfortunately, it was still under Sin Cara's stupid lights. I can't believe he still has these gosh damn things. Anyway, Sin Cara gets the win with a Swanton Bomb, a very graceful Swanton Bomb. And Alberto Del Rio suffering a loss to the new Sin Cara. Steven?
The key word you used in the whole thing was graceful, which obviously means it wasn't the normal Sin Cara under the mask. I was so fucking happy to watch Alberto Del Rio get beat. I have suffered so long watching this prick come out every fucking week, and it's finally nice to get a taste of that this guy finally might be buried and I don't have to see his shit anymore. I was looking for the tape on the back of the boot like Booker T told me to, but I couldn't see it. But I think the tattoo gave it away that it's not Sin Cara this week. I'm interested in seeing if they've just got rid of Sin Cara or Mystico, whatever his real name is. I don't know how we call them the difference. There's Hunico and then there's Original Cara, I guess, but I don't know if they're just phasing him out because of his lack of, well, fucking working safely.
Well, here's the thing. They were definitely talking about him as if he was still Mystico because they were talking about the comic books he has in Mexico and everything.
Yeah, it's a very weird situation, and I searched Hunico tattoo, and Corey was right, and yeah, it's definitely Hunico's tattoo in the new tattoo that he's had, so I don't know what's happening right now. It's not like they can switch between the two Sin Caras with that big-ass tattoo there.
Huh. Do you honestly think that they'll replay the two Sin Caras gimmick again?
I wouldn't put it past them, but I don't think they would. Unless they've got a big Mexico tour coming up.
Tony, where do you see this going?
I don't care where it goes as long as Del Rio keeps losing. That was so – when he won – I'm not even a fan of Sin Cara, but when he won, it was just, yes!
Yeah, for a moment, I wanted to draft Sin Cara on my team just for that.
I'm totally in support of any time Del Rio loses, and they don't follow it up with him destroying the person or anything like that. This was another weird kind of match with the rest of the night where it didn't keep my attention whatsoever. And in the grand scheme of things, I'm not going to remember anything about it other than the fact that Del Rio lost. Not even that, he lost to Sin Cara. And as far as the Sin Cara Unico thing goes, you know what? At this point, fuck the whole Sin Cara is the actual guy from Mexico thing. Just give it to Unico. He clearly deserves it better.
True that. And they had a whole thing about like them having the same Mystico gimmick before. I think it's kind of calmer that Unico ends up with the Sin Cara gimmick if it gets successful.
Yeah, you know, if he can pull it off, then why the heck not? I mean, they always go out of their way to make sure that they have their own properties with these characters and names and stuff like that. Well, if you're not going to use it in a situation like this, then why make such a big deal about that?
And you know what? If fucking Sin Cara does bitch about getting replaced, it doesn't matter because he can't speak English.
You know, he'll be fine. He's going to go back to Mexico, and he'll still get boats, and he'll still make lots of money. He'll be fine.
You're saying it's Karma that he would get it back? What if Karma ends up playing the character?
No, Karma's going to play El Torito.
You know what's funny, though? He might not be able to get his Mystico gimmick back because he doesn't own another company owns the rights to that. I think it was CMLL that owns it. So unless he can get in good with them, he's lost the Mystico gimmick, too.
Oh, interesting.
So he might be fucked even if he does go back to Mexico.
Sucks.
Sucks to be you.
Oh. We had a 3-on-3 tag match, number of those we had tonight. Cody Rhodes, Goldust, and The Big Show going against all three members of The Shield. I don't know if you guys noticed, while Goldust was coming out, and he opened up his robe, and he bent down a little bit. And when he did it, one of his feathers came down, and it dropped right in between his legs. It looked like he pooped a feather.
Holy shit, fucking notice that shit.
But I mean, it was perfect because, you know, he was like slightly crouched down a little bit and he's like, you know, squirming around as if he's like struggling to get it out, and he just pooped a feather and it fell to the ground.
It's going to be like the new Biggie Langston. Of course, everybody was looking at it.
You all saw it. He shit a feather.
I think one of the biggest stories they were telling throughout this was Roman Reigns versus the Big Show. I think that's a match we could potentially see down the line. But for the time being, we saw Reigns get a lot of power out of the Big Show. That is, except for this nasty, loud slap that Big Show did across the chest of Roman Reigns. Big Show, that's a common spot for him. But my gosh, the one he did tonight just echoed throughout the whole arena. The match ended up ending, though, with Seth Rollins getting the pin on Goldust. I don't believe he even did anything fancy. I believe was it a roll-up on this match, too? I believe there's a lot of roll-ups tonight.
He got some type of, like, quick finish.
I think every match.
If it wasn't a roll-up, it was somewhat similar.
Yeah. I don't know. This match was fine. Wasn't the greatest outing for either of these guys, but you know, it's Raw. You can't always expect 5-star matches, so I'm not complaining about anything. It was fun. Steven?
The match was a typical Shield match. They normally deliver. They delivered tonight. It was funny. I was just watching the Shield in the corner, and the mannerisms they've got, even when they're just, like, not in, like, the two guys are not in the match. It's just really funny how they work with each other. You can, like, they really seem like a team. It was, man, Big Show was laying on the bottom rope and Seth was whacked him in the head. You've got Roman Reigns patting him on the back and shit, and they're laughing about it. It's just fun to watch them as a, they're always working as a team, even when they're not in the ring. It's just fun to watch.
Tony, you have anything special to say about this match?
No, not really. I mean, it did its job. It got these guys on the card. It made the Shield look the way that they were supposed to look right now. You know, it is what it is.
If I have to point out one major flaw, though, they just completely dropped this whole Big Show having a concussion thing.
Maybe he pulled out his gun and told him to drop it.
Okay, moving on. CM Punk was being interviewed in the back by Renee Young and starts singing, "I Feel Pretty." I'm not going to sing the rest of it. You know how it goes.
# CM Punk feels gay.
CM Punk.
So, wrestling.
Yeah. I don't know. CM Punk just dropped another step for me, and he already was about 10 steps below where he was at the start of this year. Steven?
You know what? The first part of the set, I don't think he gives a fuck at this point. I mean, from the amount of name drops he did with Colt Cabana the week before and him singing backstage tonight, I think he's just in a not-give-a-shit mood recently, which doesn't surprise me. I think he's been phoning it in for a while. But when he actually got down to the serious part of the promo, I think it actually worked. He was saying, shit, well, no, my odds don't look good. I'm going to get my ass kicked, but I'm going to take them down with me as much as I can. So, meh, it is what it is. It's not the best Punk promo. It was better than the shit he started the night with. So, yeah, I'm not too high on Punk right now, but, yeah, nothing more I can say.
Tony, were you left swooning?
Not at all. I actually don't even like that song, period. No, I don't like
a terrible song.
People do.
I don't like West Side Story. So as soon as he started with that whole thing, I was just like, oh, I got to hear this song again. I'm so sick of this song. But the second part of the promo, like Steven said, I thought that actually was pretty decent. And I'm glad that they acknowledged that he should theoretically get his ass kicked. Because I hate when they were like, oh, I'm up against three people and they're really strong and I shouldn't be able to beat them, but I'm going to. And, you know, like, I'm going to take – he said, like, he was going to – how many people are going to get taken down with him as opposed to I'm going to take them all down, which that's the difference between a CM Punk promo and a John Cena one. A John Cena one will be like, I'm up against the wall, but I'm John Cena, so I'm going to win. CM Punk's like, yeah, I'm going to fucking lose, but hey, I'm going to kick your ass in the process. Like,
I'm going to get my head kicked in, but yeah, whatever.
Right. So I like that part of it at the very least.
But it all ends the same where the person wins.
Probably.
Lol Cena wins, lol Punk wins. It's all the same at this point. But talking about wins that we're going to laugh at, Ryback and Curtis Axel getting a surprise win over the surprise tag team of Kofi Kingston and The Miz. What? Ryback pins Kofi Kingston after a shell shock. After the match, The Miz slaps Kofi across the face, so we're right back where we were 3 weeks ago. All right.
Woo.
Tony?
# progress.
Well, I mean, it's a step in the right direction for Ryback and Curtis Axel, at the least.
I hope not. I don't want to see the two of them against anybody else anymore. I want to see the two of them just kind of like, I don't know, fade off into oblivion for the next couple months or something like that. The last thing they need is a goddamn title shot for the tag titles or something. Kofi and Miz, I don't know, though. I mean, I kind of assumed that Kofi was going to do something here instead of the Miz. And if you believe the reports that pop up on scoopscoopscoops.com and everything, the reason that they didn't go full-blown with the Miz heel turn was because they forgot about the DVD that's coming out soon.
The fuck do you forget that you've recorded something and spent the money and invested? The
right, they're like, remember that whole Christmas bounty thing? Ah, yeah, that's what I did that summer. So, I don't know if that's true or not, but if it is true, it's kind of a lame way for them to just kind of stall this. But if it isn't true, then hopefully they've got an actual goal in mind here, and it isn't just, let's kind of go 50-50 until we figure it out.
Steven, are you more positive about how this is going to be turning out?
If it's true, but that's the reason that they held off on a heel turn, they can go fuck themselves. Otherwise, I actually like where this is going. I like this. Like they're not clean-cut face or heel. I wouldn't mind them just leaving it up to the fans to decide who they want as heel and faces, and then making the turn depending on how the fans react. Right now, it's just everyone's kind of left in the dark and clueless, and it's a nice, as I said, it's nice not being able to predict what's going on. So I'm all for it. I don't know what the end game is here, but shit, I'm going to enjoy it until they fuck it up or until we get a good ending.
Maybe it's going to be like that theorized thing of the two titles switching places. We're just going to see the characters switch. Kofi's going to be the Miz, and this is going to be Kofi Kingston.
Oh my goodness, the Miz with giant dreadlocks?
With the I can fly thing. Boom.
Oh, does he get to do the whole like pyro at the start of his entrance too?
Yeah, exactly. And Kofi gets to come out and say he's awesome.
Well, he comes out with the awesome letters.
Yeah, the big foam fucking things. That'd be awesome.
Doing that like that head bob kind of entrance that the Miz does a lot.
Corey Krause making an excellent point. When you wait to see who gets the reaction, you have to actually require the fans to react, which they are not, which is absolutely true.
Yeah, that is true. So maybe that is the plan, and they'll just have to give up on it. Who knows?
It's too soon. They've only been doing this for less than a month. Let's give it some time. These two guys, as we said in the past weeks, have very good chemistry between each other. I'm intrigued to see where this story is going. It's something different, and it's something that's, you know, on the lower part of the card. Doesn't have any kind of title. It's cool.
I was going to say, we need more mid-card feuds, and this is one of them, and I'm glad they're doing that. With the big championship being unified, I hope we see more of these.
Absolutely. It can be a blueprint for future things down the line.
I'd love a Fandango versus Tyson Kidd feud. It's a shame we never got more of that.
So I didn't hear you mention anything about Ryback and Curtis Axel, though.
I don't give a fuck about Ryback and Curtis Axel at this point. I'm a Ryback fan, but they're not doing anything to give me interested. I don't give a shit if he wins over the Miz or Kofi Kingston. I don't want to see him team with Curtis Axel. I hate the guy. I think this is going to be one random win. He's going to go back to jobbing to someone next week.
Yeah, you're probably right. So let's talk about a tag team I know you like. Los Matadores got the special treatment of promoting everything from WWE Shop this week, and my gosh, this was awful.
They
were all just shouting things while El Torito was picking up things and rubbing them against his chest and like looking up in the air like Nintendo 64 kid.
They paid, and remember, they're going to catch on, right? They're going to be over, right?
They are. They're not done. That's not done. Didn't you hear the crowd chanting Olay while they were doing it?
Yeah, it's totally not piped in, right?
No, it wasn't. How could they pipe it in when they were playing the music? They can't play two things through the same speaker, Steven.
Yeah, they're done.
Tony, did you at least enjoy El Torito's antics?
No. That was ridiculous. I'm sitting there watching it just going, oh my god, why doesn't this end? That went on way too long. Even if it would have been like 30 seconds long, it would have been way too long still.
I think it was like 30 seconds long. It just felt like
it felt like a fucking half of the episode of Raw. It was like one of those hour-long blocks of Raw that they had.
We just needed Roman Reigns to come in and spear the fuck out of Torito.
That would have been fantastic.
Oh, while they have him up on the shoulders.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns just jumps out of nowhere from out of frame and just spears him off.
The best thing that could happen with that little fucking midget is Antonio Cesaro swings does the big swing on him, releases him into Roman Reigns' spear.
And then Roman Reigns can cap it off the way that he capped off the promo that they had earlier, where he's like, I'm going to beat your little ass. Yeah, this is by far the worst WWE shot that they've ever had so far.
Yeah, it was not very good.
Fuck.
We had Fandango in the ring when we came back from our next commercial. Poor guy not getting an entrance and is immediately knowing that it's going to be a loss for him once you hear the music for Mark Henry, the world's strongest man, coming down to the ring. Who wins the match with his signature world's strongest slam? It was a squash match. It was short and it was quick. Just a little exhibition for Mark Henry to come out there and show that he's back. Yeah.
Is Fandango still on your team?
Yes, he is.
Is he going to be off your team?
Nope.
Oh, okay. You're sticking to your guns. Fair play.
Oh, yeah.
But
Fandango gets that awesome spot of being too big for Mark Henry to carry, apparently, when he did that splash from the top rope. You can tell that Mark Henry is supposed to hold on to him and give him the world's strongest slam, and he just falls backward awkwardly, and they're like, the momentum, that's what that's our excuse.
Fuck.
Poor Fandango.
Yeah. There's still a chance for him. You know what? It's just he's just got to wait for his time to come up again. But, man, if he didn't get that concussion, just imagine.
He would have fizzled. He still would have fizzled out.
Curtis Axel probably never would have gotten an Intercontinental title.
That seems naturally a really fun concept. Curtis Axel not getting TV time.
Yeah, you have to wonder how his career would have panned out if that didn't happen.
You know what's sad, though? I was really high when high on Curtis Axel when he first came in. Now looking back on it, I'm like, ugh, why did I ever fucking get excited about the concept of him being pushed?
Because he's the son of Mr. Perfect.
He should just fucking do the Charlie Haas thing where, remember when he was imitating characters each week and he imitated Mr. Perfect and it was like he did all his skits but did it wrong? They should do that with fucking Curtis Axel.
Mr. Imperfect?
Yeah. I think that should be funny. I mean, he's got nothing else fucking doing for him now. He's done.
Yeah, Corey Krause saying that the Intercontinental title killed his momentum, and I couldn't agree more. That's what all these mid-card titles for. They're freaking death for anybody.
Yeah, fucking Money in the Bank kills your career. IC title kills your career. I'm starting to worry about Big E because I really want him to do well.
Well, he didn't even get a match this week. He just sat in the at the announcer's booth in his Uncle Big E clothes.
So is it mid-carders that are face that get fucked over or heels? I mean, because when was the last time we had a face IC champion?
The Miz earlier this year.
Yeah, that was forgettable.
Yeah, pretty much.
For what, 24 hours? Maybe not even 24 hours, because he went on the pre-show.
No, that's a little bit longer than 24 hours then.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah, math.
There's that whole math problem.
Next match we had was between the Primetime Players and the Real Americans. Apparently there was this whole thing that happened on SmackDown and about Titus O'Neil throwing up after going through the big swing, and he threw up into JBL's head, or not his head, into his hat.
Alright, you open out my math problem thing.
He screwed open his head and threw up into it, and that's what happened. No, he screwed up. Oh my god, he threw up into his cowboy hat, and then eventually put the hat on Michael Cole's head, which was pretty gross. But they teased it again tonight. Antonio Cesaro was going for the swing, but Zeb Coulter jumps up on the ropes. No, no, no! Don't you remember? Bleh! Which was kind of funny seeing Zeb Coulter do the bleh. But
real entertaining. Fucking between the twerking and that.
Yeah, his physical comedy is absolutely on point.
Dutch is awesome.
But, one other thing that I thought was really weird, the Real Americans came out in jackets, matching jackets, matching members only jackets, but the names that they had on them, Antonio Cesaro said Tony, and Jack Swagger said Big Hoss.
What?
Yeah, you didn't notice that?
No, I wondered what the fuck he was on about when you posted that in the chat.
They came out in matching track jackets, and they both had that Don't Tread on Me flag on them, and underneath it said Tony and Big Hoss.
That's kind of weird. Maybe they've got personal nicknames. I don't know.
Yeah, Tony I can get. Antonio is okay, it's in there. Yeah. But Big Hoss? Really?
On a side note, the jackets kind of look cool. I like them wearing it.
I like every time they tweak something with the real Americans, I like them a little bit more.
Yeah, the jackets reminded me very much of JBL's entrance jacket. How he used to have the white towel and the black jacket.
Mm.
I thought it was pretty cool. But yeah, I like the attire. The names are fucking confusing now. I'm going to have to go back and take a look at that.
Big Hoss. I mean, I guess it's because he's like an Oklahoma country boy. And hey, how about Jack Swagger getting no home state love?
No one else gives a fuck about him, so why should they?
Yeah, indeed. And Tony Cesaro ends up getting the pin in this match after getting the huge European uppercut on Darren Young, pinning him for the 1-2-3. Another win for the Real Americans, keeping themselves on TV and still looking as significant contenders. I think they're going to be a potential threat for the tag titles once this whole authority storyline dies down to the background a little bit. But, Tony, what do you think about that?
Well, I got two things I'm looking forward to here. Number one, Big Hoss eventually getting his own little midget, Little Hoss.
Maybe they can steal Torito.
And two, I want to see them bring Al Snow in so Titus O'Neil can throw up in his head instead.
Well, okay then. Steven, you got anything else you want to add?
Maybe Tony's just like his more American name.
It's kind of like when we were calling Alberto Del Rio Al.
Albert Del Rio.
just change it to the completely American. Albert of River.
What if just changed it to Anthony Cesaro, though? That'd be very awkward, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
You just want him so he has the same name as you.
I want him? What?
You want him to change. I get to skip my words. I'm British.
Goodness gracious.
Maybe you do want him.
So we come back to our final segment, starting off with Jerry Lawler introducing us to the WWE app poll that we had for this evening. And this has to be one of my least favorite we ever had. We got to vote on what we want the person who wins the titles at TLC to be called after they have both titles. So we had the option of calling him the Unified Champion, the Undisputed WWE Champion, or the Undisputed World Champion. And of all these, guess who you people picked? The Unified Champion.
Ugh.
Is that
word going to
help this guy from now on? Here comes the Unified Champion.
You know what saved it, though? They said, we'll take it under consideration. Maybe after they put the vote up, they went, oh, fuck, all three of those are stupid.
Yeah, I guess maybe they didn't really say, like, this was officially going to be the name. I don't know. Tony, how do you feel about these name choices?
They're bad, and they can't keep them. They have to just kind of throw a little reference for maybe the first couple weeks that this has happened and then abandon it entirely.
You can call it the Undisputed Championship for a month.
Yeah, I mean, you can call it the Unified Championship for a month, but eventually you're going to call it the Unified WWE Championship, and then eventually you're just going to call it the WWE Championship. They're not going to go with the World Champion. There's no way. They can't get rid of that title that they just made up with the big-ass WWE logo on it. So they're not going to just ignore the WWE part of it, period, and go with the World Champion of WWE or anything like that. So eventually, and I'm saying by Royal Rumble maybe even, at the very least by WrestleMania, this is just going to be for the WWE Championship. There's no Undisputed, no Unified, nothing. That's just something to throw around a little buzzword and make it seem new and fresh.
Oh, hey, Awesome Piano Man making his epic return to the chat room there. He made a good point here. He said he's going to be confused between the Unified Champion and the United States Champion.
That's a good point.
A little similar there. But, hey, we got another call on the line. Let's bring him in. Good friend of the show. Oh, it's Brian Biner. What's up, Brian?
Hey, yeah, I definitely don't. Yeah, Unified does make no sense to me. Just call it what it is. The WWE Heavyweight Championship. That's it. One title. Take that WWE logo, put it on the World Heavyweight Championship, right across the middle, solid gold, make it look good, and then, of course, John Cena will win, because that's what happens in the WWE. sorry to say it, but Randy Orton should never even have a title, but, you know, that's just me. I don't like any time they unified nothing. I mean, it was one thing back in the day when they bought out WCW, they had to do something to unify those championships, but realistically, we only need one champion for two shows, and
It seems like they are just trying to recreate history, and it seems like it's just like another accolade that they can put on someone's biography. It's like this person unified the title, so that isn't just something that's on Chris Jericho's titles.
Actually, Chris Jericho wasn't the only one that had both at the same time. Triple H mm-hmm. also had both titles at the same time. So
Jericho was the one who unified them, is
right,
what I'm saying.
Right, Chris Jericho unified them, but didn't he have four titles at the same time?
I don't believe so. Kurt Angle did once.
Well, because I was thinking Chris Jericho did it first. Because I was thinking he had the world title, the WWE title, tag titles, and United States Championship.
I don't think he ever had those. No, he did hold four titles once when he was the unified tag team champions with Edge, but then Edge got injured.
Oh, okay. That's
so that might have been when you saw him with four belts.
Okay, that's what it was. Yeah. Okay, I was like, I knew there was a point where he had four belts, and it was like, that's astounding for any one person to hold four titles in one organization at one time. Mm-hmm. It's unheard of. I mean, even to, you know,
yeah. Only in Mexico or Japan where they have like 20 titles will they let someone pull something like that off.
Right.
But Brian, let me ask you about some of the other things that happened tonight. What'd you think about Bad News Barrett?
You know what? It's okay. I'm not a Barrett fan. He's nothing more than just any other British wrestler that they try to bring in. He's
well,
a good
you.
I'm sorry. To me, he's no Steven Regal. Regal is my example of great British wrestlers, and he holds no standard bearer to Regal at all. And it's like, he's a good brawler, don't get me wrong, but mid-card is probably going to be his life. He may get one run at the WWE title, or whatever you want to call it, at one point. But beyond that, Barrett is like, he's very boring.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about another foreigner. Perhaps you prefer Mexicans, because we have Sin Cara had a big return tonight. Came
actually,
out, he had the lights glowing, and he got a big win over Alberto Del Rio.
Actually, I'm a big fan of Sin Cara, you know, just because I want to see him versus Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania. Just let's get it over with. Let's go ahead, make the match now. Get him feuding. It would be a great feud. The non-talking Sin Cara versus Rey Mysterio, and let's see what happens. I mean, you would have such a high-flying luchador wrestling match. It would be just outstanding to see what those two guys could just do in the ring against one another. Just like all the movesets. And please, get rid of those stupid Sin Cara lights.
Has there ever been a pure lucha match at WrestleMania?
I don't think so. You might want to check. I mean, because
I feel like maybe on WrestleMania 15 they had one of those like one-offs because they had that cross promotion going on with AAA.
The only closest thing you've got is Eddie versus Ray, but their styles had changed way much by then.
I'm sorry to say, but Eddie was more of a mat technician than a high flying luchador. You know,
yeah, he had
a
lucha influence, but
he flew. He didn't fly all the time. With Rey Mysterio, that's all you get. You get one mode, and he's off every rope all the freaking time, up in the air, and that's what you get with Sin Cara. You can have yourself a good 20, 30-minute match of nothing but high. Of course, people get bored. But I think if you throw in a ladder or something like, you know, throw in not necessarily a ladder, but some kind of gimmick for them to just fly off of, you would just, it would be astounding to see those two just go bam. I mean, it could be all over the place. And you could throw other high flyers in there, but right now, the thing is, WCW used to have all the luchadors, and WWE didn't have any luchadors. So it's like, you start to see where WWE is saying, we need that flavor. Just a little bit. But not too much over the top. WCW was over the top. They had like 20 different luchadors on their cards.
Speaking of luchadors, what do you think about Los Matadors doing the WWE Shop segment tonight?
I like El Burrito. Or Torito. What's his real name? El Torito? I call him El Burrito. Because that's what his name should be. It should not have been Torito. It should be Burrito. Just really just throw the Mexicans for a loop. I always like when they make... It's a good, funny little... He's a funny little character. Because you know what? He can actually wrestle. There's a really good midget wrestler underneath that bull.
I thought it was a bull.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
It has a tail.
It's got a tail!
Wait, do midgets have tails?
I think they do. They grow them.
Okay.
Yeah, their spine keeps growing, but the rest of them doesn't, and that's how they get a tail.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Nature's mystery solved here on the NPR Raw Blue Show. Brian, we have Damian Sandow as the number one contender for the Intercontinental title. How do you like his chances?
He should beat Big E. I mean, I'm sorry. Big E doesn't have the experience of Damian Sandow or the ring talent of a Damian Sandow, so realistically, Sandow should take that down. I am a Sandow fan. I really think that they're unifying these titles way too soon. He should have gotten a push for a world championship before they did the unification. They've left so much undone by unifying these titles at TLC and not at WrestleMania. Because, sorry, Sandow should have been world champion.
There still may be time for him.
Cesaro should have been world champion. Ziggler should have been Ziggler was world champion.
I definitely think Cesaro and possibly even Sandow will still have a chance. I mean, they're still both young guys.
Oh, yeah. They're young, and we got them for at least another 20 years.
20?
So, I mean,
that's pushing it, but at least another 10. 5 to 10, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, look at some of the wrestlers that are wrestling into their 40s. And these guys aren't taking near the beatings that those guys took.
Yeah, but there's a lot more young influx of talent right now where the older guys are going to get pushed out, I think, unless they're super over, which I don't imagine Antonio Cesaro is going to be in 20 years.
I don't see why not. I like the swing. The big swing, that's great. But he's got...
Is he going to do a big swing for 20 years?
I don't know. The thing
yeah,
is,
in 20 years, the guy's going to be 52, so it's pushing it.
I'm going to go for the big swing. Oh, my back. All right, Brian.
Well,
he'll
be doing the big swing in TNA in 20 years. How's that?
Oh, my gosh. No, hopefully he'll
That's
be
funny.
Picking
you
up the
think
whole
TNA's going to be around for 20 years?
No.
Brian, your high point and your low point for tonight's Monday Night Raw.
My high point, Summer Rae twice. Always, anytime you can put Summer Rae in the ring, go ahead. Low point probably would be this stupid Miz Kofi Kingston crap. I really, if you're going to do them, just do them. Let's not see them in tagging and then slapping each other and then feuding and then getting back together. It's like, are they a couple? Are they not a couple? I mean, what are you doing here? Also, another high point, John Cena tonight was really good on the promo. I'm actually a John Cena fan, I guess half mark. I don't know. I don't like booing him because he just... Yeah, he only has 5 moves, but he does so much outside the ring that makes me, like, want to cheer him.
All right, Brian, man, anything else tonight?
I think that's about it. I think overall, I mean, it was a good Raw. I actually didn't turn to put on football at all, which is unusual. Usually I do, and of course next week it's going to be hard not to watch football. Bears versus Cowboys, so, you know, it's
but
like...
it's the Slammies.
Oh, exactly.
The Slammies is way important than Bears versus Lions, unless it's actually Bears versus Lions.
Yeah, no, it's Bears versus Cowboys, and unfortunately I'm a fan of both teams, so it's kind of hard. It's like Slammies. Do I really want to see the WWE app all night long?
Which would you rather see, Bears versus Lions or Torito versus Burrito?
Torito versus Burrito would be funny. They could do that. You know, gigantic Burrito out there and have him, I don't know.
Torito's going to lose. Burrito's going to be too big for him. He passes out. Right. And he throws up.
Creative needs to figure out something because they've lost their... I think they're all tired. Everybody needs a vacation.
Well, they better get ready because WrestleMania season is right around the corner. So
I know.
It's not going to get any lighter. I'm excited, man. I think we're finally seeing things starting to you know, have the seeds planted. As I said before, things feel fresh right now. Things are starting to be going in different directions, and they are bouncing back and forth on some things, like The Miz and Kofi Kingston. But things feel different, and things have felt really, I don't know what the best word for it is, but I have not been enjoying majority of the Raws and pay-per-views that we've had the last 3-4 months. Finally, these last couple weeks, I feel like I've been enjoying them. So, yeah. Brian, we're going to let you go for tonight, man. We really appreciate you calling in. Have a good night, man.
Hey, you too. Thanks.
And we appreciate Mr. Brian Beiner calling in. Anyone else, if you would like to do so as well, area code 760-512-7247. That's area code 760-512-7247. And, did you guys hear that?
Hear what?
Never mind. You can also join us in the chat room or on Skype. So we'll jump right back into where we left off. We had Triple H and Stephanie coming out to begin the contract signing segment, and they once again say in no uncertain terms that at TLC we will see one champion emerge victorious. That's very interesting language that they decided to switch last week from being very ambiguous to this week being very specific. But we invite both men out, John Cena and Randy Orton. They sign their contract. They have their speeches. And like any other contract signing, tempers quickly flare up, and it ends up in a brawl. Cena ends up getting the best of it this time, though. He puts Randy Orton through not one, but two tables and ends the night posing with both belts held up high. Steven, how you feel about all this?
After I saw this, I assumed that we'd be having TLC this Sunday. It felt very much like a go-home segment. And it actually did a good job at promoting the TLC pay-per-view. John Cena's promo was very good. It was almost like a shoot, but not a shoot. It was fun, other than the silly voices that he threw in time to time. They kept Randy Orton's mic work minimum, so that's always a plus. And the brawl itself was pretty entertaining. I generally just enjoyed this whole segment, which is very rare when they have a sit-down interview type thing, contract signing. So, I was happy overall. I don't know what they're going to do as of next week, though, or the week after when it is time for the go-home show.
Tony?
I didn't think that this was anything special. This is kind of the same thing that they always do when we have contract signings. You have a couple people talk, you do the whole... threatening, I'm going to beat you, no, I'm going to beat you, let's sign the contract, and then let's fight thing. Nothing special. The only thing I thought that was interesting in this entire thing was Stephanie continually saying, and Triple H, and Triple H, which I thought it was kind of funny. But outside of that, meh, I'm not anywhere more excited than I was last week.
Now, that you brought up a very interesting point about how Stephanie kept poking that in, and Triple H. And even Randy Orton decided to take a pop shot saying that he's better than Triple H ever could have been. There's a lot of mentioning of Triple H. And, you know, let's not forget months ago when Randy Orton had gotten that Hummer gift, whatever the hell it was.
you're just holding it for me. Yeah, I remember that.
So, I don't know. Triple H could pull some kind of surprise, get involved with this. And there's someone else that I don't know if you guys caught this gesture, but when John Cena, before he lifted Randy Orton up to do the AA through the second table, he did the thumbs up into the thumbs down.
Very Batista-esque.
Very Batista-esque.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I did when he did it, but I didn't like go. I didn't think there'd be anything from it. I didn't know what it meant, but
I wonder if it was something to put a subconscious seed into our minds, because, you know, it's weird that John Cena of all people would be doing it, but it's just such an odd thing for John Cena to do at the same time to not think there might be something to it.
Yeah, I'm going to go on forums tonight. I'm going to see the John Cena heel turn conspiracies, which I see every fucking one when he does something different. But I could see us overthinking this, and they just still do a fuck finish, but they're guaranteeing it.
That's the thing. When you put a word like that, can they really still go and do something like that?
Well, yeah, it's pro wrestling. If people ask for a refund, just tell them to go fuck themselves.
Or just give it to them. They've done that before, too.
Yeah. It's a very strange situation. They don't tend to use that language unless they are going to go with something. If that's the case, I'm going to say I see Randy Orton walking out as champion. I don't think they're going to... Like, if they're not going to go with the fuck finish, Orton's going to win and probably say, well, since I won with my WWE championship, I'm going to toss away the World Heavyweight title and keep this as the main belt.
I guess you could do something like that. Tony, anything you want to add to that?
I don't know. I mean, now, I got to admit, as much as I've fallen into the trap before, what if this actually is the thing that ends up leading to a John Cena heel turn? I don't think it will, but you got to imagine, what if WrestleMania 30, a unified champion, a whole authority corporate thing, John Cena being the face of the company, all this other kind of stuff. I mean, we've had times before where we've said, oh, there's never a better time to do it than now. This is another one of those times.
How do certainly we not looking. Better times then? Every single time is better than the last.
I don't know, but like, if you really think about it, though, I mean, is Randy Orton in the position right now where he can win the title and still be that top heel in the company alongside Triple H for the rest of the year? They're putting a lot of distance between the two of them. They're really driving a wedge.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's tough. And
it doesn't matter when they turn Cena heel. It's always going to be unpredictable. I don't think they're going to.
I don't think they necessarily will, but I'm going to be paying a little bit of attention to that.
It's a whole weird situation. There's a lot of ways they can do this. My initial prediction was, of course, to swap the titles. I think that's 100% out the window at this point. I would keep an eye on Triple H somehow getting himself involved. John Cena, I think, aligning himself with the authority and inserting himself as the face of the company, I think, is another option. I don't see how Randy Orton comes out of this. I just don't.
It's very weird. And you know what? This is a good thing, though. For too long, we've been able to predict shit. They're finally throwing us a whole bunch of different odd scenarios where we have no idea what's going to fucking happen at TLC. I don't think any of us really have a full set of predictions which were set in stone.
Well, and here's my question. Tony, you were saying John Cena goes into WrestleMania as the unified face of the company. Who is his challenger?
That's obvious, isn't it?
Daniel Bryan? Or yeah. The Big Show?
Fuck off.
It would have to be Daniel Bryan or maybe CM Punk, but I hope not CM Punk in that situation. I would hope Daniel Bryan.
Are finally officially inserting CM Punk into the authority story now.
Mm-hmm. And if it is going to be CM Punk challenging for the WWE title, I don't think it's going to be against John Cena. Then I think it just is going to be Randy Orton.
Ugh.
And then in that situation, we're going to get that John Cena versus Triple H match that I thought that we were going to get before.
I don't know. This is a fishy situation. I'm interested to see where it goes, though, and I don't think I ever would have expected myself to say that about a John Cena-Randy Orton feud.
Yeah, but the end game is that Orton is going to be phased out, hopefully.
You really think so?
Yeah.
I think they gave him just these last two world title runs in the end here?
I think if he does keep the belt somehow and ends up walking out undisputed champion, he ends up dropping it at Royal Rumble.
You think they're going to give him the flip-flop?
They're going to give him the flip-flop. And then your new unified champion, Rootin' Tootin', Mike Payton.
Rootin' Tootin', Randy Orton.
Rootin' Tootin', right.
No, it's Rootin' Tootin', Randall.
All right, guys, with that, let's go around. We'll give our final thoughts and our high point, low point for the evening. Tony, why don't you start us off?
This is an episode of Raw that I think, for the most part, you can skip. And I skipped the first little half hour or so, and it doesn't look like I really missed that much in the grand scheme of things. So as far as the quality of the episode goes, it's in between there. It wasn't horrible, but outside of a couple little things here and there, nothing memorable. Low point? Either Los Matadores doing that WWE shop commercial or the fact that this was Roll Up City tonight, where it seemed like nobody could win a match unless you rolled somebody up. High point, I was going to say Summer Rae's outfit when she came out with Fandango, but when we were talking earlier, it made me think of something else. We didn't have to see Rey Mysterio wrestle tonight.
Huh.
That's another high point. So I think I'll actually go with that.
Well, that's not a bad decision there. Mr. Steven Huego, take it over.
Low point, high point first. What do you want?
Well, you can do your overall impressions, then do your high point, low point, and I don't care what order you do it in.
All right, cool. Overall impressions, it wasn't an offensive Raw, it wasn't a fantastic Raw, but it's definitely one that's left me interested in seeing future WWE products, so that's a good thing. My high point tonight was definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, Sin Cara defeating Alberto Del Rio. And I am going to be so fucking happy for a while every time I see Del Rio, even if he wins again, just to know that, ha, you lost to Sin Cara. My low point is Eric Rowan versus Daniel Bryan, and it's very rare that I put a Daniel Bryan match on my low point. So, yeah, that's it for me.
I'm going to agree with Tony. This show was, for the most part, a past show. It was not a bad one. I mean, for my weekly tuning in, I felt entertained enough, especially since I had friends to enjoy it with. So it was a little bit easier to digest than maybe if I was by myself. Man, I don't even know if this was a show, if I had cut it down to 2 hours, if it still would have been easier to watch. So I think this is the one that you would have had to cut down to 1 hour to really get to a fun show to watch. And it seems like a lot of other people are more positive about this than I am, which is usually the opposite. I'm usually more positive than everyone else.
Yeah, you cynical fuck.
I just thought it was okay. You know, it was a 3 out of 5 stars, maybe not even that, 2.5 stars. Yeah, it was right down the middle. I know math.
Yeah, mango.
I don't.
My high point, I'm going to say, is Bad News Barrett. I thought those segments were absolutely excellent, and I'm glad to see Wade Barrett back. It's a cool new thing they got for him. I like the podium. It's a cool little package they got there, so let's see where that keeps going. I do think he needs new theme music, though. I don't think he can keep doing the bah, 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 bah.
Oh, I love that theme, especially with the God Save the Queen stuff at the first. It's awesome. How can you dislike that music? It reminds me of some Sonic Adventure 2 level, too, so...
I can see that. My low point for the night, I am going to say, actually, it's probably the CM Punk singing I Feel So Pretty. That definitely made my heart sink a little bit because, you know, it's someone that is so high and so respected and admired, as Stephanie would say, to do something so dumb and silly. And people always come down so hard on John Cena when he does stuff like that, so I got to be fair and do it to CM Punk, too.
But the internet loves him. How can you?
Oh, whatever. Speaking of internet, let's take our high point, low points in the chat room. We got Corey Krause said his high point was also Bad News Barrett, and his low point is in agreement with Tony, more than half the matches ending in roll-ups. Awesome Piano Man said his high point was Corey Krause, giving a shout-out to a fellow member of the chat room, also saying Bray Wyatt was one of his high points. Bray Wyatt with that awesome post-match promo that was 20 times better than the actual match itself between Daniel Bryan and Eric Rowan. And as Awesome Piano Man's low point, AJ Lee being wasted. Yes, poor AJ Lee not doing too much tonight. And then he said he's hungry for a fruit roll-up. As am I. I'm pretty hungry. So, guys, what do you say we start wrapping things up here? Steven, why don't you tell the world about what they should be checking out for you?
For me, you can check out Unanimous Decision MMA every Tuesday, so that is tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard over on Dream Elite Radio. We're going to be talking about the Ultimate Fighter Season 18 finale results. And I think the matchup we've got next coming up as far as pay-per-views is UFC Fight Night, Hunt vs. Bigfoot. So that's going to be an interesting fight, two heavyweights with big knockout power. Yeah, that's it from me.
Tony?
Well, if you didn't know already, my wrestling website is smarkoutmoment.com, and I'm looking for more writers to join the site. So if you might be interested, fill out the contact form and let me know. My podcast is called Smack Talk, and you can find that on iTunes and Stitcher and youtube.com/smarkoutmoment. You can check out my articles on Bleach Report, and if you're interested in everything else I have going under a mango tree, such as fanboysanonymous.com, you can find the links to everything on the Twitter and Facebook accounts and every other website out there.
All right, and if you've enjoyed this show, please check us out live every single week here on Mega Powers Radio following the conclusion of Monday Night Raw. That's at megapowersradio.com. You can also stay tuned at facebook.com/megapowersradio for all the information of when we're going live, what we'll be talking about, all that happy jazz. But if you can't make it for the live show, we also have the show for your archived listening pleasure available now on smarkoutmoment.com, so it's a nice, easy place to find. Also, subscribe to the Mega Powers Radio YouTube channel, youtube.com/megapowersradio. Also, please, if you enjoy talking to us, you can keep talking to us in between shows by heading to the official fan Facebook group, The Mega Maniacs. That's facebook.com/groups/TheMegaManiacs. There you can join us. We'll be talking about everything wrestling. We'll be making predictions for upcoming shows. We'll be posting memes, funny videos, whatever the heck we want to talk about in there. Lots of fun, so you can keep up with us. That's facebook.com/groups/TheMegaManiacs. Guys, we enjoyed talking to all y'all tonight about all this crazy wrestling stuff that went on tonight. We enjoyed those who called. We enjoyed those talking with us in the chat room. Really appreciate everyone getting involved. That's what makes this show extra fun. Thanks for joining us for the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show. For Tony Mango, for Steven Wadland, I did it again, for Steven Huego, and for myself, Mr. Mike Payton, we'll see y'all next week here on the Mega Powers Radio Raw Post Show.